Most European leaders want to make the sovereign debt bailout fund even bigger. Germany, though, says not yet.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Finance ministers from the Eurozone group of countries are meeting in Brussels today. Number one on the agenda, taking an even bigger whack at the debt crisis in Europe, as in making the bailout fund bigger for other countries that may be in debt trouble. Christopher Worth has more from London.
Last year, the Eurozone crisis was all about bailing out Greece and Ireland. Now, the focus is on Portugal, and Spain could be next. At that point, analyst Andrew Lillico of Europe Economics says the crisis becomes a whole other ballgame.
Well, Spain as an economy will be larger, much larger, than Greece, Ireland, and Portugal put together.
Spain is Europe's fourth largest economy, which is why some European leaders want to expand the size of the roughly $600 billion bailout fund, or make it possible to use that money to buy up government bonds of countries facing rising borrowing costs. But Jonathan Loins of Capital Economics says there is one major roadblock standing in the way of that plan: Germany.
So far, it's dragged its heels with regard to almost every policy response that we've seen to the crisis.
And it's doing the same now, mostly because German taxpayers say they're tired of footing the bill. As Europe's largest and strongest economy, it pays the bulk of what goes into the bailout fund. So it's likely that no action will be taken in Brussels until the next Eurozone country reaches the brink of defaulting on its debt. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
BP may still have a dark cloud here in the U.S. after last year's oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, but it still has important friends, and possibly a new best friend in Russia. A $16 billion deal gives the oil giant almost 10% of Kremlin-controlled Rosneft, which in turn takes a 5% share in BP. Peter Van Dyke reports from Moscow.
No international oil major is more deeply involved in Russia than BP, and after more than a decade of ups and downs, it knows the potential pitfalls all too well. But with the shadow of the Gulf of Mexico spill casting doubts about its ability to grow in the US, the unprecedented share swap may have been too good to refuse. The deal effectively replaces, at half the price, the reserves BP sold to pay for the Gulf spill. And it gives the company access to billions of barrels of oil thought to lie beneath the Arctic Sea. Ivan Mazalov of Prosperity Capital Partners Brokerage in Moscow says BP had little choice.
In the United States, which is the most important part of the world for BP, BP was rather burned recently. I think that BP may have had to reevaluate their strategic priorities and put more emphasis on diversification from the United States even.
BP's CEO denies his company is running away from the US, which accounts for a quarter of its oil and 40% of its profits. But lawmakers in Washington have raised fears over national security concerns. One says the company, once known as British Petroleum, should now be called Bolshoi Petroleum. For Marketplace, I'm Peter Van Dyke in Moscow.
Let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe and Asia are mostly lower right now, under 0.5%. European plane maker Airbus said today orders in 2010 surpassed U.S. rival Boeing. Airbus reported it fulfilled a record 510 aircraft orders, nearly doubling the number from the year before. Boeing said it delivered 462 planes last year. Wall Street Friday, stocks ended the week on a high note. The Dow added 55 points to close at 11,787. For the week, the Dow tacked on about 1%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt, it's more car than electric. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
Here's a marketing tactic big in supermarkets and at the warehouse clubs: food that you can try before you buy. But when some people eat those free samples, they're not thinking about buying the product. They're thinking about having a second helping. From Denver, Zachary Barr has the story.
There's so much free food at Costco, it helps to go in with a strategy. Here's Matt Hannans.
Start with the meats and cheeses and work my way down to the drinks.
Hannans at the rotisserie chicken and provolone cheese cart. So, naturally, I assume this is his first stop. I tell him clear on the other side of the store, there's free Jell-O.
Already had some.
And then he tells me about another spot he's already visited.
There's a fellow over there with some kind of soda, I think, that was really good. So I'll probably wander back for some more of that.
You see, Hennon's well into his sampling circuit. He says he routinely circles the store, eating seconds and thirds, but he doesn't stop at every station.
I'm not a very picky eater, but some of the stuff in the health food section I'll avoid.
Kay Wilson runs the food demo program for Colorado Costco's. She says people do like the junkier foods best, cookies and candy in particular. And for very hungry shoppers like Matt Hannan, she has a message.
We want them to have all they want. There's no overindulging. If you're going to buy 10 pounds of something, you want to be sure it's something you're going to consume.
Giving out samples is part of Costco's business model, says supermarket analyst David Livingston. He notes other profitable grocers do it too.
There's just a high correlation with successfully run supermarkets and sampling.
Livingston points to Whole Foods and Trader Joe's.
And these two chains are probably two of the highest sales per square foot supermarkets in the United States.
So why doesn't every store do it? Livingston says a supermarket needs to have extra money and be certain that shoppers will like the food they're eating. In Denver, I'm Zachary Barr for Marketplace.
And finally, from the What Took You So Long file, Starbucks has introduced its newest size to go along with the tall, the grande, and the venti. At 31 ounces, the new Trenta drink cup will only be offered for iced coffees and teas and will cost 50 cents more than the current biggest size. Starbucks has faced some stiff competition lately, from McDonald's, which offers everything at a giant size, to convenience stores, which still sell 64-ounce mega drink sizes, or as they're better known, the cup as big as your head size. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Migrant workers go overseas to find jobs. They go home when those jobs go away.
Spain has deflated like a balloon. For migrants in general, employment has disappeared. A huge number of Latinos have been laid off. This is why people are going back to their home countries.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Bolivian expats repatriates. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.